Hello, and welcome to GCSE Economics Essentials. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving into one of the most exam-focused topics in the OCR J205 specification, the balance of payments, specifically the current account. Now, I know what you're thinking. Balance of payments sounds complicated. But trust me, by the end of this 10-minute episode, you'll have the confidence to tackle any exam question on this topic. We'll break down the four components, learn how to calculate balances from data tables, and explore the macroeconomic impacts of surpluses and deficits. This topic is worth significant marks on paper too, and examiners love testing your ability to apply data and analyze consequences. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's earn those marks together. Right, let's start with the fundamentals. The balance of payments is a record of all financial transactions between the UK and the rest of the world over a specific time period, usually 1 year. For OCR GCSE, you only need to focus on the current account. Don't get distracted by the capital account or financial account. They're not on your specification. The current account has four components, and you absolutely must memorize these for definition questions. Let's use the mnemonic, good students practice seriously to remember them. Goods, services, primary income, and secondary income. First up, trade in goods. This is the export, an export of physical, tangible products. Think cars manufactured in the UK and sold to Germany or smartphones imported from China. When we export goods, money flows into the UK, which is a credit. When we import goods, money flows out of the UK, which is a debit. The difference between the value of goods exported and goods imported gives us the balance of trade in goods. Second, trade in services. This covers intangible services like tourism, financial services, and business consulting. For example, when a foreign tourist stays in a London hotel, that's a service export for the UK, money comes in. When a UK family holidays in Spain, that's a service import, money goes out. The UK actually has a strong surplus in services, especially in financial services and education. Third, primary income. This is where students often lose marks by being too vague. Primary income includes investment income dividends from shares, interest on loans, and profits from foreign direct investment. For instance, if a UK company owns a factory in India and sends profits back home, that's a credit in primary income. If a foreign investor receives dividends from UK shares, that's a debit. Fourth, secondary income. These are transfers with no exchange of goods or services. Think foreign aid sent by the UK government, remittances sent home by workers abroad, or pension payments to UK citizens living overseas. If the UK sends foreign aid to a developing country, that's a debit. If a UK resident receives a pension from abroad, that's a credit. Now here's the calculation you must master. The current account balance equals the sum of all four components: trade in goods, plus trade in services, plus primary income, plus secondary income. If the total is positive, we have a current account surplus, more money flowing in than out. If it's negative, we have a current account deficit, more money flowing out than in. Let's talk about the macroeconomic impacts, because this is where the analysis marks are. A current account deficit means the UK is spending more on imports than it earns from exports. This can lead to several consequences. First, it may cause the pound to depreciate because demand for pounds falls, fewer people want to buy UK exports, so they need fewer pounds. Second, a deficit can indicate weak international competitiveness. UK goods and services aren't attractive enough on global markets. Third, if the deficit is large and persistent, it may need to be financed by borrowing from abroad, increasing national debt. However, and this is crucial for evaluation marks, not all deficits are bad. A deficit might result from strong consumer confidence and high import spending, which actually indicates a growing economy. It depends on whether the deficit is short-term or structural. Conversely, a current account surplus means more money is flowing in than out. This can boost employment in export industries, strengthen the currency, and indicate strong competitiveness. But again, context matters. A surplus might also mean weak domestic demand, with consumers not spending enough on imports. Let's talk exam technique, because this is where candidates lose easy marks. First, the biggest mistake: confusing the government budget deficit with the balance of payments deficit. They are completely different. The government budget deficit is about government spending versus tax revenue. That's fiscal policy. The balance of payments deficit is about international trade and money flows. Keep them separate in your mind. Second mistake: getting the direction of money flows wrong. Remember, exports bring money in, imports send money out. I've seen students write that imports bring money into the economy that costs marks. Third mistake, confusing volume and value of trade. If the pound appreciates, the volume of exports might stay the same, but the value in foreign currency changes. Be precise with your language. Fourth mistake, forgetting primary and secondary income when defining the current account. Many students only mention exports and imports of goods and services. That's incomplete. You need all four components for full marks. Now, exam technique. When you're given a data table and you will be, quote the figures explicitly in your answer. For example, the UK's trade and goods deficit was £137 billion in 2024, as shown in the data. That's AO2 application and examiners reward it. Use the chain of reasoning technique for analysis questions. Start with the action. The UK runs a current account deficit. Then the reaction. Demand for pounds falls, causing the pound to depreciate. Then the consequence. Imports become more expensive. Exports become cheaper. Finally, the macroeconomic impact. This may lead to inflation as import prices rise, but export competitiveness improves, potentially increasing employment in export sectors. That logical flow earns you top-level marks. For 12-mark evaluation questions, your judgment must be supported by the weight of your arguments, not just a summary. Don't write in conclusion their advantages and disadvantages. Instead, write something like, overall, a current account deficit is more concerning if it is large, persistent, and structural, as this indicates fundamental competitiveness issues. However, a small, short-term deficit during a period of strong economic growth is less worrying. Right, let's test your recall. I'll ask a question, pause for 3 seconds, then give the answer. Cover your notes and see how you do. Question 1. What are the four components of the current account? 3, 2, 1. Trade in goods, trade in services, primary income, and secondary income. Question 2. If the UK exports goods worth £300 billion and imports goods worth £450 billion, what is the balance of trade in goods? 3, 2, 1. A deficit of £150 billion. Question 3. What is primary income? 3, 2, 1. Investment income, including dividends, interest, and profits from foreign direct investment. Question 4. What might cause a current account deficit? 3, 2, 1. Low international competitiveness, strong consumer demand for imports, or an overvalued currency. Question 5. Why might a current account surplus not always be beneficial? 3, 2, 1. It might indicate weak domestic demand or underconsumption in the economy. How did you do? If you got 4 or 5 correct, you're on track. If not, go back and review the core concept section. Brilliant work today. Let's recap the essentials. The current account has four components: goods, services, primary income, and secondary income. Remember, good students practice seriously. A deficit means more money out than in, which can lead to currency depreciation, competitiveness concerns, and potential debt. A surplus means more money in than out, which can boost employment and strengthen the currency, but might also indicate weak domestic demand. For exam success, always quote data when provided, use the chain of reasoning for analysis, and ensure your evaluation includes a supported judgment, not just a summary. Avoid confusing the government budget deficit with the balance of payments deficit, and always include all four components when defining the current account. This topic appears frequently on paper 2, often worth 8 to 12 marks, so mastering it is essential. Practice calculating balances from data tables, and always link your analysis to macroeconomic impacts like employment, growth, and inflation. Keep practicing, stay focused, and remember, examiners reward specific knowledge, clear analysis, and supported judgments. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode of GCSE Economics Essentials. Bye for now.